skills are no match for the power of the dark side. You will pay the price for your lack of vision.
Welcome to Roscoe's House of Chips.
Well, special edition of Roscoe's House of Chips.
Yes, most definitely.
Oh, man. So be forewarned, we're going to spoil the shit out of Star Wars.
Yes.
So if you haven't seen it, you just fucking stop watching.
You just wait until after you see Star Wars to listen to this episode.
Specifically, we're talking, obviously, of Star Wars Episode 7,
yes.
The Force Awakens.
There.
And we have the Tooth. What's up, Tooth?
Woo!
Good morning, America.
Well, it is morning where you're at, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, Jesus.
Well, I don't know. What time is it?
I don't know.
It's 12:30 your time.
Well, I'm in a garage. How can I tell?
Well, it's a perfect place to be after. So, let's get, since the Tooth is our guest, let's get his opinion matters more to me right now than anybody else's. You tell me, Jason.
Can I make a prediction?
Okay. Actually, Cody wants to make a prediction before you say something.
I think he loved the shit out of it.
Okay.
I think the Tooth loved the shit out of that movie.
Okay.
I think he's going to have issues with some parts of it, but I think he's going to love the shit out of this movie.
I think the Tooth could probably find some things to be faulted from that movie.
Well,
but
the Tooth, let's just get real. The Tooth's a fucking hater, man. Like, he is the fucking show hater, which is great because we love the Tooth for that.
Everybody needs haters.
Right.
So give it to us, Jason.
What is it? What do you think?
All right. So, my opinion on the show. How can I put it in words? I cried.
He loved it.
I cried, mm-hmm. And it's not for the fact that it was a horrible movie. I give it a 10 stars.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Amazing.
And I cried probably, I'm going to make a prediction right now that the Tooth and I may have cried in the same spot. See, I knew Han was going to die. I just had this feeling.
Oh,
of course.
Oh, yeah. As soon as he saw Kylo Ren walking out onto one, which is a platform with no guardrails. Was kind of weird. I thought that was kind of like.
Also, after the explosion, how did that not fall down?
Well, let's just. Yeah. Okay, let's not get into like the fucking nitty gritty of it.
but it led you automatically to that conclusion.
It's not even just that. I had that feeling from the beginning because when she said bring him home, my whole thought was there's a turning point to go to the dark side, and everybody knows that it's like true Star Wars fan. The turning point to go to the dark side is to do a great act of evil you cannot turn back from.
Now let's. Why was... Okay, so Kylo Ren is actually Han and Leia's son.
Yeah,
right.
Which I was upset that they didn't hide that more. I was kind of upset that they just brought that out in the opening 45, 50 minutes into the movie.
They should have been, who do you hope to see behind this mask? And him say, my son. And that should have been the second we figured out about it. Right,
yes.
Jason? That's kind of what I was thinking.
I
give it to Adrian, man. Man made a movie. There's no doubt about it. But give us something to hold on to, as far as suspense goes.
Something to to keep on.
Back in the 70s and that.
Back
in the 70s and that, though, no one expected Princess Leia, to be Luke's sister. No one expected Darth to be his father. And they sprung that on us, and everybody was shocked. You know, and in this one, it was like, bring our son home. Well, why the hell are you telling us he's your kid?
Yeah, like I feel like there could have been a much bigger build up for that. That like final, like that reveal being more dramatic.
Almost like Luke, I am your father. Yeah, you know that that build up at the end where
I almost wish that they would have pulled that through because of the way that you know that the other movies were done. That kind of suspense. I agree with Jason.
However,
absolutely.
Jason, your money. We all agree. But the part, this is where I'm going to go out on a limb. I didn't cry at the Han Solo death. I figured that was...
I didn't cry either at that point.
Where I cried at...
Well,
because
you saw it coming.
Right.
Everybody in that theater saw it coming.
But where I cried at was at the very end, and she holds out that
lightsaber.
His lightsaber, and he has that look on his face like it has begun.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I laughed my butt off at that face. I don't know why. Like, for some
reason.
I had
to laugh, too, because... You see, okay, who we're talking about is Luke Skywalker. So the basis of the movie is...
They're trying to find Luke.
Yes, because Luke...
has gone missing.
He trained Kylo Ren.
Before you go into that, I got a question. Did anybody else notice that all these Skywalkers have daddy issues?
Every fucking...
Yes.
They're great Jedis, but shitty fathers. Like, every fucking Skywalker is like a lousy parent.
Yep.
and the thing is they're lousy parents, and yet they still moan. Why doesn't daddy love me? And I was sitting there in the movie when it was kind of dragging there for a little bit because, let's face it, it's Star Wars. There's moments where it drags.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't stop thinking. Every Skywalker out there had some kind of daddy issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They really do. I completely agree.
Anakin didn't even know his dad.
Well, yeah. Well, his dad was the Force.
Shut the fuck up. The prequels don't matter. The prequels don't fucking matter.
Well, I mean, Boba Fett had daddy issues, and he technically wasn't a Jedi.
I'm thinking that what happens with daddy issues is that these people are so intertwined in the Force that they don't think about anything else. I think to be a Jedi, you almost have to be single in order to really... Because the Force consumes you. It has to consume you, right?
Yeah.
Go back to what you just said.
Okay, yes. Let's go back.
You just said to be a Jedi, you have to be single.
No,
that's one of the laws.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Like, what I'm really saying is almost...
You have to let go of all attachment.
Right.
To be a Jedi. Okay. And all attachment is...
Family.
See, here's my theory about Rey, the chick. I think Rey... is Luke's daughter.
Well, that's kind of where it leads you to. You know,
no.
I think that's why he was so emotional.
Rey, okay, Jason and I think are going to agree. She is Han Solo's daughter.
She's the twin
of what's his face. See, I was thinking that too.
Because twins run in that family, and boy and girl.
And according to the books after Return of the Jedi, the 30 years passed. I've read that whole series.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they actually had 3 kids.
Uh-huh.
One, they had a set of twins.
Uh-huh.
And then they had another boy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. After seeing the look on Luke's face when she finally met him on top of that mountain, like, he got teary-eyed. And I think it's because
he knew the Jedi's were coming back.
No, I'm with him. I'm with Jason. He had that look like... Like,
I just thought he looked constipated, guys. Come on. Like, I laughed the whole entire end scene because his face was just, I don't know what it was, but something just evoked me to laugh the entire time. Because I was like, what the fuck? This reveal of Luke Skywalker is like super.
Well, yeah, it starts out, he initially turns around and like he's got his hood on and he grabs the hood and he just kind of like flings it back and lets his arms drop to his sides very slowly.
It was very dramatic.
It was very dramatic. But it was just like, but seriously, the look on his face, I get that you guys are like all reading into it and you're like, oh, he's like, it's beginning. All I thought was like, I'm an old guy and I really haven't pooed in 20 years, but at the sight of you, I just shit my pants.
I got a badass beard.
So let me ask you guys this.
Okay.
And here's where we speculate on this end scene. Hold on, I got a burp.
Give me a sec.
Gonna piss off some of the fans because I'm burping into the mic. Okay.
I drank all my Red Bull, so. Please don't barf on the mic.
Yeah, that was close to barf.
that was disturbing.
Okay, well, we're waiting on
this is Star Wars.
Okay, hold on. I would like to say something.
Yes.
As a female who watched this movie, there is no hope for good hairstyles in the future. like, as women, like, if this is my, if this is what the future is for hairstyle, just fucking kill me.
Hey,
now.
Hey, hey. It was a long, long time ago.
In a galaxy far. Far.
Oh, I'm so, so, so. Well, you know, whatever. It's space and time. It's wibbly wobbly shit. But, you know, like, I have no faith in fucking their hairstyles getting better. Like, Leia's was. No. No. I know it's iconic, but I never dug the whole Leia thing, like the
that
buns
was total
on the side.
70s, yeah.
It was totally, but like this one, it's like she's got like a floppy, like she's got like three floppy pieces of shit hanging off the half of her head. It just looks stupid. I feel so bad. She's like, what's her name again?
Come see the softer side of Sears.
Oh, sorry. No, Rey is like this kick-ass female character, and she's really, really cool, and she's better than Leia was, because Leia, where you were like, oh, God, she's such a whiny, bitchy princess, and this girl's like, fuck you, I'm going to go take over the world. It's awesome, you know? But
like they found the Millennium Falcon. And she's like, oh,
I got this
I can
shit
do this.
On
okay, this.
So let's go back to what we were talking about, because I want to go into the Millennium Falcon. But Jason, are you able to talk?
Yeah, I had a great night. So you guys been talking about the Millennium Falcon?
No.
The subject just came up.
Ellen invoked a squirrel moment. Okay. Yes. So anyway, so my thing is this, and this is pure speculation on the last scene of this movie. Do you guys, and I'm going to start with you, Tooth, do you think that Luke Skywalker is alone on that planet?
No.
Okay. And who do you think is there at the temple with him? Because I have speculations.
Well, as any good Star Wars fan knows, of course, Ben, Yoda, and his father is going to be there in the Jedi spirit. But I think there's going to be, an army of Padawans that he's actually been training.
Well, the whole entire concept is I don't know if he'll have a whole entire thing of Padawans, because the thing is that he, what I'm taking happened is Luke was the one who trained
Kylo Ren,
and so he's terrified of training, and I think that's one of the reasons too that I think he's a little bit scared because it turned him to the dark side.
Now see, here's my thought. I think he's looking for something or someone. Okay, so
they have these things in the books. And I'm going to agree with Ellen, because that's how it happened in the books. He had a student who went to the dark side.
Uh-huh.
And he was totally like, oh, fuck, what am I doing? I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I can't be doing this. And they had these Jedi holocrons.
Uh-huh.
That he was looking for. So, like, when they mentioned the first Jedi temple, mm-hmm. he was probably going to look for a Jedi holocron that could help him train.
Okay, and here's my speculation. Okay, so in some of the other Jedi books that I've read and stuff like that that have to do with this, I mean, there was a whole bunch of different stories, and I know they conglomerated a lot of them together, you know. But here's one of the ones that the theory I have. Okay. There was at this temple, because mm-hmm. there was one about the original temple, mm-hmm. there is Yoda's master. And he is almost immortal because he has completely surrendered himself to the Force. He has conquered the dark side and the light. He is the balance. He holds the balance to the Force, but he is pretty much in a meditative state most of the time.
It's almost like Aragorn and the tree in Aragorn. It's like a woman has sunk herself into a tree, and so she's so far gone, but she keeps the balance of the world.
Right. And so my thought is I think Luke may be searching for the one.
Like the Matrix?
Oh, okay. Shut the fuck up. Okay, what's your speculation there, Tooth?
Well, first off, I want you to reach over and slap Cody for ruining a good fucking thing with the Matrix.
Well, that's the way
come
he
here.
Said
just,
it.
Just like
the way
you,
he
just,
said it, he was
I
like...
I got it for you, Tooth.
He sounded like Morpheus. He needs to find the one.
I think he's secretly... training an army there, because I don't think, you know, we all know Luke's a pussy. I mean, let's face it, he had the, you know, he's supposed to be the one that brings balance to the Force, but yet he's crying for his daddy to help him. So I honestly think that with age, I think he went and found a couple of Padawans, maybe not like an army, but I think like four or five. Mm-hmm. And I think this is where it's going to go. It's these four or five, and not only now, that I can't even think of his name now. Ben. Did anybody else catch that?
Ben?
Yes.
Yeah, his name was Ben.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is not one of the names in the books.
Right.
So I don't. That's why I'm thinking Rhea is Luke's daughter.
No.
Okay. Why?
The look on his face, the fact that when she touched that lightsaber, she had a vision.
That's where I'm coming from, too. Like, why I think it is Luke's, like, why she might be Luke's daughter is because the lightsaber called to her. And the little Ma girl, or the little Ma woman, she said, you know, this was his father before him and Luke's. What else can it be? The natural progression is that it's her daughter.
It goes to the next one in the
line.
Goes
to the next
generation.
Well,
I guess we'll find out. So,
I bet you we're right.
I bet
I'm
going
to put
money.
Do you want money right now?
No.
That dollar from yesterday? Dollar.
No. Okay, so now let's go to the Millennium Falcon, Tooth. What were you going to say about the Millennium Falcon?
Am I the only one that got pissed off when she was dragging that son of a bitch across the ground when she was flying it?
Yeah, I got a little pissed too. Like, it's the Millennium Falcon. What the fuck are you doing? How are you treating this thing?
But you can't say that because, you know, like, a couple scenes later, fucking Han does the same exact thing, just plows it through a shit ton of trees.
Okay,
yeah, that's Han's freaking baby. If I let you borrow my car, you better not hit the drive, the sidewalk. If I hit the goddamn sidewalk, that's one thing.
So if I steal a car that has been stolen from you by like 10 different people, you're
right.
Gonna get mad at me because I ran it into I dented the like fucking back fender.
Well, are we talking about a Honda or are we talking like a Ferrari?
Well, you know,
I mean, this is
Jason,
the
a fucking Honda. You know, we can't afford a Ferrari.
Okay.
Well, that's what the Millennium Falcon is. It's the fucking
it's like a fucking, it's like an old school muscle car. It's like, oh, but it's kind of rusty and kind of a piece of shit.
It is an old school muscle car.
Okay, yeah, we'll go with
it's
that.
Like a fucking GTO.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of like that scene at the end of the Fast and Furious when the fucking GTO explodes. We all went there.
Okay.
Can't lie.
Right. No, so the Millennium Falcon, first off, when she's running to that transport ship, and there's one guy's like, "Why don't we take that ship over there?" And she's like, "That's just a piece of junk." I knew in the back of my head
that it was the mental.
And when you saw it, it was like everybody, you could hear
in
the theater,
whole audience.
I don't know what it was like at your place, but as soon as everybody saw the Millennium Falcon, it was like everybody gasped, like, "There it is," you know.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Well, I gotta tell you, this is the difference. When we were walking out of the theater, I was behind a group of kids, and all they could talk about was, you know, weird shit. Like, oh, yeah, did you see this? Did you see this? I was still dumbstruck that Han died.
Oh, really?
I was like, what the hell? And one kid's like, well, do you think Han Solo will come back?
No.
And one kid's like, well, he's not even an important part of the story. He's gone. I was like,
fuck you, kid.
I felt like I lost my best friend.
Yeah. Right.
I felt like I lost a person of my, you know, family member.
How could they say that? Han's not.
Because their parents are fucking retarded.
Yeah.
Shame on their parents for not teaching them better.
They didn't teach them right. Absolutely.
No.
Okay. Tonight, I have to say, I saw old friends.
Oh, yeah. That's what it felt like. It felt like it was what we've been waiting for 30 years, right, guys?
Yes. Yeah.
There was a part in the movie. It was right about the middle. I don't remember exactly what was going on. All I had this feeling of was just giddiness.
Yeah.
Just like oh,
the,
my
the magic's
God.
Back. You brought the magic back. Yeah.
This is exactly what J.J. Abrams was. I knew he was going to do.
Yeah.
And I give it to Harrison Ford. He brought it back.
Yeah.
Because the moment that the camera zoomed on his face and he said, "Chewie, we're home." I got goosebumps. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Now shit's going to get real.
Do you know what? That is actually when I cried in that movie.
And then the whole little jokes and stuff. I heard that this did, you know, the run in 14.
Yeah, parsecs.
He walked away.
It was 12.
And then he kind of mumbled to himself, 14 is 12.
Yeah.
And when she said 14, I was like, no way, it was 12. And then he said it, I was like, thank you, they didn't ruin the fucking movie.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It was so great. And the other little Easter eggs in there is when they put that captain in the trash compactor.
That was beautiful.
That was awesome.
And do you guys have a trash compactor?
You got a garbage chute.
Do you know what I really liked? Like, I just like the way that it worked out when R2-D2 has the map to get to him, and then the little
BB-8
comes in, and like just that like piece of connection going into this whole story that, you know, R2 has. I just thought it was really symbolic of how well this fit into the storyline.
So there's been a lot of people complain about R2-D2 just coming back to life. I want to let you know that's been one of the biggest spoilers on the internet, and a lot of people are just being like, well, R2-D2 just came back to life. What the hell is that all about? Well, he was a fucking partner to a Jedi. Like, he runs on the Force. He was probably programmed to not even come back to life until the Force ran through him.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, is that it was like that awakening of R2-D2, or
the Force awakens.
The Force awakened him. Yeah. You know, that means that even that happening, this goodness, this light side of the Force is going to come back, and everybody's feeling it. The dark side, Luke probably felt it, and you know, that was probably that moment where it was like, all right, let's get shit done.
The one thing that almost bumped me from the entire movie was when we met Snoke for the first time.
Okay.
Because I was like, what the fuck is this? This is a giant-ass alien? Like,
do you know
what the fuck is going on?
Do you know
on?
My theory about that is? Because he's a project. He's
projected. No, the Emperor did that, too.
Yeah.
Like, he made himself much more bigger than
he
actually
was.
Pay
no attention to the fucking
Exactly.
I just have this theory that this guy is like fucking 2 feet tall. Like, that guy's probably really small.
You know
probably
what?
Is.
Do you think that the Snoke, is that his name?
Snoke.
He is going to be like 2 feet tall.
No, I think
he's not that big.
I want to go deeper. I think he's older than we think.
Mm-hmm.
And
he looked old as shit.
He's going to be average. He's going to be average size, but the thing is he's going to have like the hole where he wasn't even worried about, you know, his ship blowing up, his ship/planet. He was like, go get him. His training, you know, continues. I think he's relatively a badass, and we're going to see some fucking awesome shit from it.
I think he's going to be better than the Emperor, because the Emperor was pissed off at the fucking Death Star. And you're right, Jason. This guy was like, okay, cool, this fucking Death Star.
Whatever, we're going to live to fight another day.
Yeah. Right, you know.
Yeah. But anyway, let's go back to the robots. Does anybody else want a BBA?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
like that just became the R2-D2 of this generation.
Yeah. Way that they were able to capture what R2-D2 and was from the originals, and this new character that was still a droid but still happy-go-lucky, you know.
I almost liked it because he did have, like, I felt like, and you can disagree, that R2 didn't really have a lot. Like, he didn't.
He wasn't a big player.
He didn't evoke enough. Like, he didn't invoke emotions.
He was a trash can with fucking wheels.
He was a trash can with wheels. But this new guy, he's like, you know, like with a part where she's like, where she's going to maybe leave him, and he's like, you know, kind of like a little puppy. It's cute, because, you know, you kind of get that's also a character, where it's not just a trash can with fucking wheels. You know?
Or when Finn told BB-8 that Poe was dead, and how he was all,
and you could see in the robot's,
like,
face.
He it's a robot, but it portrayed so much emotion.
Yeah.
The same way that R2 was able to. Like, he captured that magic beautifully.
I also liked when he found Finn with the jacket, that he comes over and fucking, like, zaps him a couple times. Like, you know, I'm not okay with this. You know, it's cool.
And then when he got BB-8 to lie for him, and Kip gave him the thumbs up, and he puts out his little blowtorch.
Yeah, it was like adorable.
It just good. Like, it had a lot of good humor, but it didn't overdo it.
It was personable, and it lightened up the mood.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, that was the problem with the Phantom Menace. Is it just fucking? It just brought
the jokes they tried to put in there.
No, what they did is there was no jokes really. There was some fucking Jar Jar Binks walking around.
That's what I mean. Like, that was the whole joke, was just Jar Jar walking around talking all funny.
Right, right.
Well, let's face it, the whole damn movie was the joke.
Right, but let's get on to at the very beginning of the show, okay? Mm-hmm. So that feeling. Okay, so anybody that grew up with Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
okay, so I was alive when The Empire Strikes Back just came out, and I was alive when the Return of the Jedi came out. I'm the oldest. I'm the oldest one of the group. Okay, so I remember seeing a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and then you wait for that moment when the music's going to start, and you see that Star Wars. What I think was great that J.J. Abrams did, okay, in comparison to what dickhead fucking did back in the 90s.
George Lucas?
Lucas did back in the 90s. He did it old school. That was an old school projection way of doing that. It wasn't. It was not CGI. It was nothing. It was like old school film and projection that he made the beginning of that fucking movie. And when I seen that, I was like, sold.
Yeah. Like, the whole movie was shot on film.
Right. I know.
Like that's and everything. Not everything, but a majority of like the alien creatures at the Mos Baz place, you know, there was a shit ton of practical effects.
Right,
a shit ton. And it just made, you know, you had to have your CG like in the space battles and whatnot. See, but
see, I've heard a lot of like dissing on that scene, actually. You know, I've watched a few things and I've heard a lot of negative comments about that scene at Mos, where it's like, you know, you go in and it's kind of like the first one.
The Cantonita,
you know, and you kind of get that feeling. Yeah. But as somebody who enjoys, like, watching people make creatures like that out of latex and doing things like that, the thing alone, just, like, the spread of what they've done is pretty amazing and pretty remarkable. Because it's like, you know, most people are like, it was kind of stupid, it was kind of pointless. But it's like, you know, I like that because it does show how much they put into this show. You know, they put a lot of work into it. And that was hours of production for one scene.
J.J. Abrams pulled out all the stops. Okay, so Tooth, what was your favorite scene in the movie? What was that one scene where you... Because mine was at the very beginning when it was all projection graphics. I was sold from second one. The second it was old school Star Wars picture. And you could see the film running through when it said a long, long time ago. You're like, wait a second. He fucking took from it. He didn't try to make it his own or make it newer or flashy. He just took it right back. That was my favorite part of it. What was your favorite part, Tooth, when it was this? When you realized that we had our movie back?
All right. So I'm going to start out with this. I went into the movie, and I know Nate's good, but I thought Disney was going to fuck it up. And I went in, and it started out good, and I was into it, and then the stormtroopers showed up. And they started blasting people away, and I was like, alright, stormtroopers are not that accurate. What the hell?
Right.
So I started on the downside of not liking this movie. And then he takes his helmet off, and he's a black dude. And I was like, no, they're fucking clones.
What the hell?
And then it bounced back for me when they're talking, the general and Ben, I call him Ben because I can't remember his goddamn name.
He's like, don't
prove me wrong, showing that we should have used drones, not your stormtroopers. And I was like, okay, they explained now why he's not a clone, because it's a whole new generation.
Right. And they just took people from their family. What I think was so great about that, too, is it finally gave humanism to the
stormtroopers.
Yeah. It finally made you realize that they're so, not so brainwashed by the fucking dark side, and he couldn't take it anymore, you know.
I think that's true.
Well, let me tell you your question. Quit fucking interrupting me.
Okay. That's why I love the Tooth.
The moment that I realized that AJ went back to old school, and I got all excited, like the first dogfight, X-Wing showing up, TIE fighters.
Yes.
That was just magical to me, because, yeah, we saw the whole Hydra space with the fucking Millennium Falcon and all that shit. But to me, seeing the X-Wing show back up,
that was,
and take on the TIE fighters, I was like, God damn it, he did it.
You know what? In the dogfight, the scene that actually sold me, and I knew that JJ, he has been waiting his whole life. Like, I got chills right here to do this. Do you guys know the move that Han Solo always does when he shoots down a hole? with the Millennium Falcon when he goes into a cave or something. What does he do?
He stalls it out.
He stalls it out. And what did she do when she...
She stalled it out.
She stalled it out. And I sit there and I was like, he paid so much attention to the... It's like he's been making this movie since he was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he just fucking... He just did exactly what we expected him to do. Mm-hmm. He gave us what we wanted. We wanted to see the Millennium Falcon stall out and shoot down a tube.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we wanted.
Yeah.
What I wanted, and I'm really disappointed in it, is they brought back a whole bunch of the old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A whole bunch of old jokes, so people like us could go, oh, yeah, that happened before.
Yeah, this is the droid you wanted?
Yeah, I got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah.
I wanted, honestly, this is where I think JJ could have put one more to drag me into the story, make me feel like I was watching Star Wars again. When they walk into the bar, the same fucking song should have been playing.
Yes. I was thinking the same exact thing.
That
like if the same song was playing, yeah. But do you think that might have been a little too on the nose, though?
No, because he did it. Like every 10 or 20 minutes, there was a reference to remind us old thoughts that, you know, this is Star Wars, this is the way it should have been done. And just one more walking into that bar would have been fantastic.
Yes.
Even if it was just a couple of notes and then you hear a record scratch. Well, and then they start playing something else. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have two things to mention about my children about this show, and I want you guys to... Okay, first off, I have a whole new generation of Star Wars fans I'm creating.
Mm-hmm.
It's a duty of mine. And when that ship was swallowed by the sand mm-hmm. out there, and then shot back out of the sand.
Mm-hmm.
Maxine looks over at me and she got the reference. She's like, is that the Sarlacc pit?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Chris was sitting right there with her, and even Chris had the same look on her face. I was like, Maxine got it.
Yep.
It's a fucking Sarlacc. But the amazing...
That's because Maxine's a fucking rock star.
Maxine is a fucking nerd.
Yes.
But okay, and then Alyssa gets in the car, and I was sitting there thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, if anybody has anything bad to say about this, it's going to be Alyssa.
Yep.
And she said, I loved that movie. She said, I'm like, are you serious? She's like, Rey is a badass.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of cool because it's like, you know, really, you didn't have these awesome female characters until this one. I haven't watched the first three. Okay, I'm just going to be perfectly honest. I have not watched the first
Phantom Menace.
The Phantom Menace.
Attack
ones,
of the Clones.
You know? No, okay. I
did. No! Okay.
All that exists to me is
good.
Like...
As bad as they are, you have to watch them.
Yeah, and so, you know, and I do because I'm missing some references here, but, you know...
No, he didn't refer to the original
As a matter of fact...
He really
As a matter of fact, hold on, and I'm not trying to interrupt you, Ellen. No, I just want to get this out of my system before we move on from it.
Well, keep it in your pants, dude.
Okay.
I agree.
What I really want to get out there is this. He brought back the magic to the Force.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's no longer about these stupid little bacteria that live in... Oh, my God. I was just like, I wanted to kill something when I found out the Force mm-hmm. wasn't magical. But he brought the magic back to the Force.
Do you know what? Seriously, fuck that guy. In his theory of the Force's blah, blah, blah. No, that's just bullshit. You know, and I really do like how he brought that magic back because it is. It's like,
See, I always, when I was a little kid, I wanted to be a Jedi more than anything in the entire fucking world. And when I watched this show tonight, and when you said you were giddy again, mm-hmm. that I got to this point where it's like, I want to be a Jedi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm 28 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the luxury of being
and you'd
all
be a you would be a scary well. Fucking Jedi, Jason.
Jabba the Hutt as a Jedi.
Jabba the Jedi.
Body slam your ass to use the Force that way.
So, anyways, all right, three generations.
Anyway, I'm lucky. I got all three generations. When I was a kid, you know, Star Wars to me was, you know, sitting next to my grandfather and watching in amazement how this story unfolded.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thank my grandfather for this because he showed me a lot of older movies that...
Fucking
even though
Grandpa
I wasn't
T...
Around,
Grandpa T's a fucking nerd, man. Grandpa He's old
T's,
school.
Grandpa T's just awesome.
Shut the hell up, Wade.
Okay.
Jesus Christ. So I grew up just like I grew up, you know, like I would have been in the 70s. I love Star Wars. Then I was about 10, 11 years old when the new ones came out.
Mm-hmm.
And as bad as they were, it brought me home. And I felt like a kid again watching them with my grandfather. Now I have a son and a wife who has never seen a Star Wars. I have no idea what the fuck's wrong with that woman.
I
don't blame your wife. I blame you.
Yeah, that is your responsibility if she's not seen it.
No, motherfucker. She didn't know who the hell John McCain was or anything. She lived underneath a rock.
But how long have you been married to this woman?
3 months. Or 2 months.
How long have you been with her?
Yes, because we all know that you've
7 been... 7 years. But here's the thing. Getting her to sit down and watch a movie like that is like pulling teeth. I had to sit
her down. Is that why all your teeth are gone?
Yeah. I had to sit her down to watch Rambo.
She's a busy lady. She's got a kid, you know, she's got to take care of, you know, and stuff to do. She's a busy lady.
No, it's nothing like that. I love her because I get to teach her all this cool stuff. I really do. She's my best friend. And I get to take her to this, and I get to see the light in her eyes flicker at the magic of this. Mm. Now, she's not closed-minded, you know, she's not like, well, Star Wars is gay or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to see this, but not only do I get to see this in my wife, I get to see this in my son's eyes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it just astounds me. In my generation, I have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And then JJ brings this out and just brings a new hope.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended there.
A new hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to this. Star Wars, and I dog on all the new geeks. I really do.
It's like jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah, to know the Millennium Falcon, to know who Han Solo was, to know anything like that, you got your ass kicked in high school. Mm. And tonight, I got to tell you, the first time I walked into that movie house and I saw the younger generation excited to see this film, it gave me hope for humanity once again. It gave me a spark that maybe Hollywood could come back, and I thank JJ for it. I really do.
Yeah, I think that
he has.
Amazing.
He's given us a gift, and I'd like to thank JJ. We all need to like.
Thank you, JJ.
Thank you. You know, he gave it back to us. What Lucas did to steal it from us in the 90s was bullshit.
Yeah.
JJ gave us the gift of Star Wars.
Yes.
I do have something, a funny story that happened tonight, and I want to share it with all of you guys.
Okay.
Okay, there's two funny stories. A, the first funny story is have you ever been so early to something you ended up late?
Yes.
Okay, so what ended up happening was I was fucking overzealous. I'm like, this is going to happen. I got 10 people I just fucking bought shit this for fucking for Christmas. I'm fucking going to come in this goddamn theater, and I'm gonna save 10 seats so we sit in a row. So yeah. I get in there, they kick up me out because I was in there too early and made me go to the back of the fucking line.
Well let's go into this a little bit more. They even cleaned out the row that we were gonna sit on.
Me and Patrick cleaned the fucking row out.
Yeah, like went through, cleaned out the row, made it all nice so they didn't have to go through and clean that row, and they still kicked you out. I went up, I went to the concession stand, and I bitched as loud as I could, especially, and I stood right close to the manager because she was the only one in a red shirt, and I'm like, this is bullshit. You know, I could understand if we just walked on in there, but we even cleaned the fucking row out. Fuck them. And she's like sitting there like that. The woman's getting this panic looked on her face. I'm like, oh, calm down. But you know.
But the fucking great thing is we all had nerd rage.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows that when you have nerd rage, you fucking go crazy. Well, we took Patrick with us, Jason. And Patrick was in front of me, and he's like, the whole time he's sitting there, you could just see him fucking raging. Like, he's rocking back and forth, and we're all just trying to be giddy and shit. And then we got Lucas, which is Amanda's fucking nerd fucking boyfriend, and he's fucking got this quiet nerd rage. He's like, it's like Jay and Silent Bob. You got Patrick just fucking, blah, 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 and then you got fucking Silent Bob leaning up against the fucking wall, just, nodding his head.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, so they open up the doors and let us in, and I was like, okay. To start letting us in, I said, Pat, you see an opening, you go right to our fucking deal. He sees this opening, this fucking lady. Okay, you guys didn't see this, okay?
No,
this fucking lady, he pulled a move, bitch, and fucking went around her. She started chewing his ass. She's like, nobody's gonna steal your fucking front row seat, you fucking nerd. He's like, ah! He flipped her off, went running down to our fucking deal, and he's like doing a little jig.
We had 10 people. We took up the majority of that row.
But the funny part about it was, is like, he's flipping her off, and then she stops right in front of me because she's starting to choose Pat's ass. So I pulled him move bitch on her too, and I grab Max's hand and I fucking circle around her, and we go all the way down to our row, and everybody's just looking at me and Pat like we're the two biggest assholes in the world. But it was just like,
we got amazing seats though. Thank you guys.
Fantastic seats.
But Pat had to, literally this chick was just in his way, and he's like, move bitch, boom, out around her. It was fucking.
Pat doesn't wait long to get, you know, what shit he wants. So.
No, yeah, when Pat wants it, he gets it. I just thought it was hilarious, guys. He really, really, and that guy's like, that lady's boyfriend wanted to kick Pat's ass.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Because I was actually right next to that lady when, like, because he shot between her and me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
I get out the way, Cody.
I heard her start bitching, like, rah, 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 rah. I was like, the fuck, Jesus Christ!
Shut up! Nobody cares what you think, stupid bitch.
Get in the back and shut the fuck up! Don't ruin this goddamn movie.
Nobody's gonna
us.
Steal your fucking front row fucking seat.
Do you know what? Do you know what? We were the fourth row back, dead fucking center. We got the perfect seat in the theater. So fuck her, and she could go sit wherever the hell she's at because we got perfect seats. So fuck off, bitch.
Yeah, I thought it was good. So shout out to Patrick.
Yeah, thanks, Patrick, for getting us awesome seats this evening.
It was pretty fucking badass.
Pretty good.
You want to talk about the magic of the show? I'll tell you a story that happened tonight. There was an old man. He had to be 70, 80 years old. And he walks into theater. Now, the theater I went to was pretty expensive. Assigned seats and all that. There was no, like, boo, bitch, get out of my way.
There's like, I have a seat and it's reserved for me. Fuck you.
Right.
Yeah. So there's this old man, and he just has the old man face on. Everybody's seen the old man face. Like, he dragged me out for this shit. And he's just blank in the face. And after the movie, he stands up, and I swear to God, he was 40 years younger. He grabbed his wife, who I'm assuming his wife, because in this day and age, you never fucking know.
It could be a side lady. We don't know.
He grabs his wife, and he holds her like a gentleman, and he walks out, and he gives her the longest kiss out in the lobby and says, thank you. That was the best Christmas gift I ever had. I think if that old man dies tonight, he'd die a happy fucking man.
That is so sweet.
See, that's what this show did. Is it was so transcendent.
It was more than a movie.
Mm-hmm. It was larger than life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I remember being a kid, and Jason, you and I played a lot together when we were kids, right?
We could get arrested for that shit, but sure.
Pass the stage.
But
the,
you remember we used to play Star Wars a lot?
Oh yeah.
We were always on a mission. We were always on a different planet. We were always Jedis. We were always, shooting up and it was just always amazing because this is what we grew up with. It was larger than life. It was like, this is what we played. And that's what it felt like with the studio at the show house tonight was taking us back to that day and age where
playing with a lightsaber and imagining that you are a Jedi.
I want a fucking lightsaber. I want to be a fucking... And I want that fucking lightsaber that fucking...
Kylo Ren had?
Isn't that fucking
that
badass?
Cool.
That was badass.
Really cool.
No, dude, no. Dude, go back to the original. I love the fact that there was a different CGI for his lightsaber.
Yes. Because
it looked
homemade.
More, yeah, it looked more like it was on fire and shit. And as soon as, what's his name, the black dude, opened up that blue saber, and it was the original, I was so fucking, I was like, that is awesome.
Yeah.
As far as the lightsaber go. But did anybody else notice, like, the nightstick that the stormtrooper had?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that was so fucking cool, right?
Yeah.
I was like, where the hell was that, like, 10 years ago? That would have made a hell of a lot more difference.
They might have won that way, Jason. We can't give them that loop.
Right, right.
Do you know what I'm really excited to see? And I know that this is going to be a trilogy. We all know this. There's no question this is going to be a trilogy. But
well,
I'm
of course,
really...
they've already signed the deal.
Well, yeah.
They've already signed the deal, and... But, there's actually going to be more than that.
Shut up, Cody, so I can say something. Fuck! I'm sorry. No. Something that I thought was cool is I'm waiting for this progression of Ben, because you can see this anger and this uncontrollable anger he has, and I'm waiting for this kind of cool progression of that character to see him go from this out-of-control kid, basically, to I know at the end of it he's going to be this master of this dark
force. Do you know who I'm going to compare him to towards the end here? I think he is going to be as vicious and evil as Darth Malak. Does anybody remember Knights of the Old Republic?
No.
I think he is going to be on that level of fucking psycho.
Yeah.
So. No, no, I see, you know, it's another Skywalker. I see him crying and moaning and bitching until the end. And
that's kind of what he was doing through the whole movie. He was kind of crying and bitching the whole fucking time.
I think that he's going to go past it. I think he's going to be on that level of Darth Malak. I think he's going to be fucking...
No, there's going to be a new evil that shows up.
You think that he's going to have somebody that is almost like, I would say like a Darth Maul type on next to him or what?
Yeah, because you could just see he's going to join her and it's going to be light and dark versus the giant alien projecting dude.
Yeah,
and you can just see it.
I actually have to agree with Ellen. I think it's going to be a progression like that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the last of this new trilogy, he's going to turn.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to come back to the light side to defeat Snoke.
Okay, I think that could happen too. Because
I don't think so.
Final thing was he killed his dad. He's on the dark side now.
There's
that was
no
what he
turning
to do.
Back from that level.
No.
And I'm telling you right now, I think he's going to kill Luke Skywalker.
Of course he's going to. Because we've all seen it. I mean, Darth Maul killed Qui-Gon. Vader killed Ben. Of course he's going to kill Luke. Luke's not going to be the hero anymore. And, you know, Luke brought balance back to the Force. Like the prophecy was supposed to, you know, but
bring prequels into this shit. Do not. That's not fair. They were bullshit movies. They don't fucking count.
Say bullshit again.
Bullshit.
Wait, bullshit. How are they shit movies? Those were the original ones. Luke brought balance back to the Force.
The whole prophecy thing was from the fucking prequels, though.
No. There was not really. It wasn't even about a prophecy.
But yes, yes, Luke did bring balance.
Actually,
back
it was
to
Anakin
course.
That was supposed to bring the.
Technically,
Wade?
He did.
What?
Shut the hell up! No, he didn't.
No. This is actually an argument that Jason and I got into this summer that was amazing. Like, okay. who actually brought balance back to the Force? And I said Anakin did, and he's like, no, Luke did. And he and him fucking argued for three fucking hours.
Both of you understand, right? That they had their roles, like the two of them brought the balance back because without Darth Vader, like he was fulfilling his role, what he needed to do, Darth Vader, to get Luke to where he needed to be. There's your fucking balance, you know. I don't know.
No,
okay, yeah,
no, no, no.
Here we go.
Here we go. Let's start this.
I'm hitting my head against the table there. No.
Okay, let me backtrack real quick. I know they killed off Han. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to kill off Luke though.
Yeah.
I really don't.
They will.
I don't think he. But I agree with you. I don't think he's going to be the hero either. I think he's going to train Rey to be the hero.
But she has got to stand alone next to the dark side. That's the way it always works.
Exactly, but I don't think that he is going to die.
He has
to.
He has to.
He's got
to
die.
He has to die. That's how it is. But another thing, I think back to him killing, or, you know, Ben killing his dad and killing him, I feel like it is. That's the end of it. I don't think he can go back to the light side because even Leia felt it. You know, like Leia was like
Leia
nope.
hugged yeah. her like she was her daughter, even though the speculation on mine and the two's part say that she is. But Leia hugged her like she was her daughter because she knew that here Rey took her son's place
mm-hmm.
because she felt him switch to the power of the dark side.
Yeah, so she knew.
Is no coming back.
See, I don't think it was. I don't think it was that. I think she actually felt Han die.
Of course, she felt Han die.
She did.
No, I'm gonna go with Cody more on this. I think she felt that Han died. I think there was no hate there. It's like she said, there you go leaving again. He's like, yeah, I always did that, so you want me back?
Because her reaction was the same as old Ben's reaction when Alderaan got blown up.
Yeah, she felt the disturbance in the Force.
Exactly.
Well, but I think that is what it was also, you know, she felt Han die and she knew that he died, but also she's the mother of that child. I believe that there was some kind of feeling that he had gone to the dark side and there was no way she was getting him back.
I completely concur with that. Yeah. And I think that's why she embraced Rey the way she did. Is she knew that here is the only chance.
We got it.
There's no turning back now. She can, you know, and I love the role that Leia's playing. She's still just as horrible actress as she used to be. And they only gave her like 5 lines in the whole deal. They did put her on the Millennium Falcon because we all were going to fucking pound our heads on the fucking seat in front of us if they did. But
that's why I like Rey so much, is like this comparison to like Leia and Rey. It's like, I'm a bitchy princess and I'm going to just do this and this and you do what I say. And this woman who's like, nope. I'm going to go get it done.
C-3PO said it best in the movie.
Princesses.
Yep. Princesses. Exactly.
You know, she was. That's what she... and that's
they're
what
useless,
she played.
But they're no good.
In the original ones, she played the damsel in distress a lot.
Yep.
And Rey is no damsel, and she is not in distress.
No.
In fact, she feels more like a Jedi.
She's in distress, but she can handle her shit.
Well, that's the whole entire thing that Han said. You know, she's like... Like, he gives her a gun, I don't know how to use this, and he's like, well, you know, I can handle myself, and that's why I'm giving you this gun, is because I know you can handle yourself. Yeah. I loved that.
Yes.
The other part that was really cool is when Rey does Wookiee-type mechanics in the fucking Millennium Falcon, and she just starts bypassing shit and pulling things out, and the look on Han's face was like, yeah, that's what Chewie would have done, but he was, like, injured at the time.
Yeah, he was like, oh, God. You might just be the most awesome person I've met before I die.
So what else, Tooth? Like, is there anything else you would like to finish up this deal with?
Well, it was bigger than a swamp rat, so I guess that pretty much sums that up.
Right.
So, without giving out too much more to this movie, go see it.
Yeah, go see this movie.
If you hate Star Wars, I'm pretty sure there's a bridge somewhere that you could jump off of. But you go into this movie as an adult, and you'll come out as a kid. And that's what this holiday season's all about. And to release it so close to Christmas, I think it's a gift. I mean, there's just no other words for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's our gift.
In the movie house, you know, I saw trailers for, like, Zoolander 2 and The Huntsman and all these...
Warcraft.
Happy fucking movies. Warcraft. I shake my head at that.
You know. I was mildly interested until I saw the fucking, like, the title of it, and I was like, oh, fuck.
No, you know, me and Pat knew it was based on World of Warcraft, and I'm telling you, I want to watch it.
Yeah, we're going to go watch it, Wade.
Well, Wade, you would also like to watch Two Midgets Shit in a Cup, too.
Two girls, one
cup.
That's
besides the point. The point is Hollywood is ruining movies that are classics. I mean,
they are. Point Break. Point Break comes out on Christmas, and it was a great fucking movie. Why are they remaking it?
Well, you know, maybe they need to make that stupid train movie.
Cash grab.
I thought we weren't supposed to bring that up.
All right.
Do you know what? At least we didn't waste another 2.5 hours on our life today.
Anyway, the point of this is for the first time, I don't like the movie house. To me, to sit in a crowded area with a bunch of fucking strangers with my feet sticking to the floor from God knows fucking what.
Because I just came.
To watch something that, you know, I can't pause to take a piss and I just paid $13 to see is a waste of fucking money. This is coming from a guy who buys random fucking games on Xbox and tries them out.
Yeah.
But to go to the movie house to see Star Wars and feel like it was way worth the $13 I spent on it.
Not only the $13, but your time and your effort.
Yeah, my time and my effort. You know, I left a kid, I left a wife at home. I went and seen it, and I would go back. I would pay another movie house $13 to see that movie.
Most definitely. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Most definitely. I would go and see that movie again.
I would go see it again.
Hell, I think we could probably get the 15-year-old to go and see it again.
I think we could get Alyssa to see it
again. Yeah, Max would be really mad if we didn't take her either. She'd be like, "That's just a, you know, she's coming with."
She is. Max is just like, I mean, I don't care. You gotta sneak my ass in.
Yeah, just put me under your coat, Dad. I got this.
Okay, so Cody, is there anything you'd like to finish it up with?
Back to feeling like a kid again. Like, how I discovered Star Wars was through a single VHS tape. That was recorded from another copy of Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
And that's all that was written on it. It was just Return of the Jedi.
Right.
And I watched the shit out of that movie over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I was in middle school that I came across somebody else who knew what Star Wars was and liked it as much as I did.
And
he told me, you know, there's two other movies, right? I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
One of the greatest days of Cody's life.
Oh, I guarantee, like, Cody might jizzed right there.
Yeah.
Like, it changed my life. And I was like, we need to go over to your house. It was like, do you got them? Oh, yeah. I got them on Laserdisc. I was like, what the fuck is Laserdisc?
Probably the most fucking...
Most advanced technology that Cody had ever heard of at that point.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, who didn't know that there was two fucking more Star Wars?
Oh, God. Cody.
Me, who lives under a fucking rock. At least I knew of one of them.
And then he didn't even know what Laserdisc is. It's like, wow, holy shit, you have the Millennium Falcon at your house, too? What
oh
the
my
fuck?
God.
He actually did. He had the big full one, like, it
wow.
opened up, and yeah.
Oh, man, that was the day that Cody, like, he was...
And we sat and we watched fucking A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back, and...
And Cody jizzed all over his new friend's house.
And watching.
Well, that's also the day Cody came out of the closet too. But.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like there was some secret boning while the movies were going on. It's okay.
My friend and I, you know, went up to his little loft and had one out.
Yeah,
but
quickies.
That magic was back again tonight.
Yeah.
Watching this movie.
Right.
Like I just knew J.J. Abrams was gonna do it justice.
Oh, indeed.
Because he didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They approached him to do it, and he said, no, I can't.
Right.
Because he just...
I can't take on this legacy.
He didn't want to fuck it up.
He didn't want to be hated for the rest of his life.
You know what, guys? J.J. Abrams is going to go down in fucking legend.
Yes.
He's gonna be
because
a legend.
Not only look what he did with Star Trek, mm-hmm. and now he's done it again with Star Wars. He hasn't really put that many movies out.
And he is going to go down in history as probably one of the greatest directors of all
time.
Yeah.
So what? Okay. Let's go down that road. Tooth. When? What introduced you to Star Wars? What was the? Do you remember who introduced you?
Oh yeah, we already talked about it, dumbass.
Yeah, Grandpa T.
I remember the day like it was yesterday. So our family, well, mine and Wade's, or Wade more likely, had. A shit ton of movies pre-recorded off of HBO and that.
We still
yeah.
got them.
So much there was a book of them.
You had to and, go through the book and find your tape number, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember watching movies like, you know, Sarah Plain and Tall and stuff like that. And I remember this so well because it was a day that my grandfather was sick and he was sitting on the couch and he was just watching old war movies and that. And I was sitting there watching them with him, and right after one of the war movies, the Star Wars came on. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching it and just being dumbfounded by this amazing story. I was young, I mean, I didn't really get all the jokes. But after that, you know, he introduced me to not... just the first one, but the second one. I didn't really get to see the third one until on TV. Mm-hmm. But From there, I was hooked. I mean, he's never shown me a bad movie I can remember. And I thank him, you know, if he listens to what he's gave me. And I hope I'm there when he gets to see this one. And,
oh, that would be amazing.
I would love to introduce him to the new one.
Well, Bill, Dad took Bill and David to see Star Wars. This is what's incredible. Dad took Bill and David to the Hewish Theater in Richfield, Utah.
Back when the Hewish Theater still existed.
Okay, right. Mm-hmm. To see Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to his two oldest boys in 1977.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Tonight, my brother Bill just took my dad
to see
Star Wars at the Hewish Theater in Richfield, Utah.
Oh, I'm sorry. The real theater does not exist
right?
anymore.
Right?
That's awesome.
That is way cool.
So to be honest, I know, Jason, that you would love to introduce him to this, but I think the rightful person was Bill.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now that you said that, yeah, but...
Well, you know what? We'll drag Grandpa T to the next one.
Okay, so now you, Ellen.
Yeah,
who introduced you to Star Wars?
My dad actually introduced me to Star Wars. He probably still has it. He has at least two sets, complete sets of the 4, 5, and 6 on VHS, and he set us down, me and Amanda, who actually went to the movie tonight. And you know, we sat down and we watched it, you know, and I remember like the Luke, I am your father, finally being like, oh, like in the gravity of that finally like hitting me like, oh my, mm-hmm. holy shit, you know? And so like tonight, I think what was the cool part for me is that, you know, having Amanda in that theater and she's, you know, she's pregnant and her significant other Lucas is, you know, Lucas is just super into Star Wars. He's got, you know,
he's a fucking nerd.
He
brought lightsabers and gave one to Max.
To keep until Christmas. But yeah, like he's super into it. He's got, you know, he made Millennium Falcons and in little, you know, Death Stars or, you know, little TIE fighters and stuff, you know, out of things. And it's kind of cool for me because I know that baby, that whole entire new generation will still love Star Wars. You know, and it's kind of cool because it's like, you know, my dad showed us this, mm-hmm. and she's going to show her babies, and, you know, your kids, they loved it, you know, and that makes me excited because, you know, the fact that Alyssa, my niece, is into it, I was like, oh, that's so cool. I think that's amazing that she's, you know, and that's cool. This is going to go on for, God, when we're old people, you know, our kids are going to
be
like...
This is going to be one of those movies that transcend every generation. Mm-hmm. It'll be that mm-hmm. one, even 100 years from now, mm-hmm. that they're going to be like, have you seen the original Star Wars? And it's going to be like the Wizard of fucking Oz mm-hmm. of this generation.
Mm-hmm.
There is not a person in this world that is going to be like... to introduce somebody to that original magic... all the fucking way through
mm-hmm.
yep. is you can't wait.
I'm
for your
show
son
my kids.
You can't wait.
Oh. Oh yeah.
No, I can't wait at all.
I'm super excited for that.
I do have a question for the tooth. I want to rank them. So, but we all know where 1, 2, and 3 lie.
They're in the negatives.
Yes. Yeah, they don't even count.
Exactly.
They're so in the negative they don't even count.
So we have 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Oh.
How are we going to rate those, Jason?
What, the old ones or the new ones?
No, the 4, 5, 6, and 7. What do you rank them as, best to worst?
Well, you got to give 4. It's props. That's definitely on must-see. 5 kind of dragged off, but 7 gave you, you know, everything. It, you know what? I say... take a day off work, pop in all 6 of them, watch them, and then go see the new one.
Mm-hmm.
You can't rank them, in my opinion, because if you've never seen Star Wars before, you know, 4, 5, and 6, they're going to blow your fucking mind.
Yes.
And as long as nobody's there to ruin it, or you haven't went onto the internet and ruined it, finding that Princess Leia is Luke's sister is going to blow your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And... to turn around and watch 7 and get all the little hints and stuff, you can't put a price on that. You can't rate it. So as a Star Wars 4, I would have to give them all a 10. Yes, even episode 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. Because without them, well, let's face it, without the crappy ones, you would never understand why Ben Kenobi looked at Darth Vader the way he did before he died. You would never understand that hatred, but yet that heartache that he felt. And without 1, 2, and 3, you would not understand.
Okay. Okay, so then let's take it to a different level about ranking him. In all of the movies, mm-hmm. what is your top favorite line in all movies? All the movies.
Every single one of them.
In just what's the one line in it, the one character says?
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
Right, Cody.
Oh God. Give me a minute. What's yours, Jason?
Yeah, Jason, what's your favorite line that stands out above all of them?
Yoda on his deathbed, that whole scene.
There is another Skywalker.
There is another Skywalker, just brought chills. And you didn't really fully understand who Yoda was, but you know that he was a wise person and he always talked in rhymes. But that whole death thing, he just lays over and says that and just closes his eyes. That is by far the moneymaker of all Star Wars films.
You know, I'm actually going to agree with you on a part of a death scene, but it's not going to be Yoda's. That was a great scene. I'm not saying that's
okay,
not.
Okay, mine's Ben Kenobi's.
Mine's Darth Vader's.
Okay. Okay, so...
When
so
he's laying on the shuttle and he's expressing to Luke...
I want to save you, Dad, Father.
Yep.
You already have. Yeah, that. Ooh, I got the chills already thinking of it. The other one, there's two for me, okay? There's two for me that stand out. Ben Kenobi's death scene. When Darth Vader said, when he's getting ready to kill Obi-Wan,
mm-hmm.
and he says, you know, strike me down, Vader, and I will become more powerful than you will ever know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And instead of fighting Darth Vader, he puts his sword aside and just lets him hit it.
Mm-hmm.
He just lets him destroy himself.
Repeat that one more time.
What?
He put his sword aside.
Oh, well, his lightsaber. Shut up. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. And then the next one is the most evil line ever in history. Like, I don't know if they shoved a thumb up the guy that played the Emperor's ass or whatever it is, but in that scene where he's like, now, young Skywalker, you will die.
Yeah.
You believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, holy shit, the gravity of it. He wanted, the character not only wanted to kill Luke Skywalker, but the guy who played him, you could see the evil in him. He got a joy out of watching. And not only was he getting joy out of watching Luke die, but he was getting joy out of knowing that he was destroying Anakin inside, yet even further taking Anakin to the dark side. And you could see that happening in his face, and you were just like, wow.
Whoa.
That whole sequence of events when Luke is brought up to the second Death Star into the Emperor's throne room and making Luke watch the space battle going on outside and everything he was saying to him, like, your lightsaber's right here. Strike me down with it.
Yeah, and then fulfill your destiny.
Yeah.
Or, I think that your friends will... What was it he said? I think your friends will be quite surprised to find out that we knew they were coming.
Yeah.
And you're just like, it's a trap!
Who's the true mastermind?
Yeah, and you're just sitting there like, oh, fucking, here it is. And then you realize that the Darth Vader is who defeated it in the end. And that whole sequence, you're right, that whole sequence of events was so much.
It was a mind game.
It was a mind game. And the Emperor knew he had it won.
Mm-hmm.
But then Darth Vader threw the fucking, you know.
He turned the table on him.
Mm-hmm.
He was the unknown factor because he thought he had that factor on lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
When you really didn't.
God, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I could talk about this show all fucking night. So, Jace, thanks for coming on. And you're going to come on the show again later on?
Oh, I'll be here every week. Cody on it.
Well, you know what? Maybe when we go down to Utah, we can actually have you on and not, you know, for the phone. That would be really cool.
That'd be really nice.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be kind of creepy because I'm sitting here naked talking to you guys and I don't want to embarrass anybody.
You know what? Wade and Cody are usually always shirtless when we do this fucking show, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not, you know what? I'll just avert my eyes because I really don't care. Plus, nobody can see that shit anyways, Jason.
Oh. That's exactly what my wife says, too.
Oh.
So thank you very much, Cody, for waiting the few days that you did to watch that with us.
Well, thank you, Wade, for the awesome Christmas present.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And thank you, Tooth, for coming on the show. It's been awesome.
Also, and running out and seeing seeing the fucking, you know, Lord of the Rings.
That's another great epic film.
Amazing. But you have to watch the extended on the extended one on Lord of the Rings. Just sit through the 13 hours and shut up.
It's worth all right. It's totally worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Jason.
I'm going to leave you guys here, but I want to say something before I go.
Okay.
You know, I want to thank all the military out there. It is Christmas season. A lot of you ain't home, and we thank you for what you do. The service and sacrifice means a lot to a lot of people.
Yes, thank you.
And on that note, peace, bitch. I'm out.
Goodbye, Jason. Thank you.
Bye, Jason.
All right. Well,
cool.
Yeah, good awesome. Star Wars episode. Nice little thing.
Love it.
Do you know what? Before we go, I want to do my favorite scene of this new movie.
Yeah.
I think the one that got me all like was actually when you see Leia and you have R2 and
C-3PO.
Yeah, okay, it's on the top of my tongue. And then Leia just come out. It's just kind of that full circle completion of everything. That was kind of like my. Yeah.
You realized it aged. She realized she aged, but the magic is still there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the droids didn't. And it made it more real, actually.
Yeah. It was.
See, the one scene that I really liked was when Rhea was fighting Kylo Ren.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going at it, and she's keeping up the pace with him. And he's the dark side. He's angry. He's already killed his dad. He's made that turn. And he's pretty much a badass.
Mm-hmm.
And they're at this point where they're basically standing at a cliff.
And she lets the Force
in.
And he says it. He's the one that brought it up to her. He was like, you need a teacher to teach you about the Force. And then she was like, the Force. I can use the Force for this.
Yeah.
And then it just flips.
And just fucking kicks his ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good scene,
The way you could just see it in her face and the progression, like,
I think they also did that well in production. You know what I mean? Like
right.
There was that like moment of peace that you could see on her face.
Like here she was on the verge of death and she found peace in it.
She found something more.
Yeah, isn't that amazing how the Jedi just transcends death because they know they'll become more powerful than you'll ever imagine.
That's why Luke Skywalker won't die.
He'll just become more. Oh, you cheeky bastard!
Oh, shut up!
Get out of here!
On that night, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, you know what? We're gonna leave. Let's just leave Cody alone again. Just kidding.
All right, thank you guys.
Yes.
Thank you again, Wade. It was an awesome Christmas gift.
Very, very awesome.
And guys, just remember, Han shot first.